there, and welcome to the One Church podcast. This message was recorded live at one of our services. If you'd like to know more about life at One Church, visit us online at weareone.church or check us out on social media.
But I'm anticipating Christmas. I'm excited for Christmas. I'm not very good at rapping, though. I'm terrible at rapping. If I were an Egyptian living in the day of mummies and I was doing the rapping, half the pharaoh would just be sellotape. Genuinely, I'm that bad. Danny's the one who likes rapping. I'm trying to do my jokes, Annabelle. I'm going to read this one to you. A man with a sore throat went to see his doctor. The doctor prodded and poked and finally said, "Your throat's a bit swollen. Have you eaten anything unusual lately?" The man said, "Well, I know this sounds weird, but last night I ate all my Christmas decorations." "That's it," said the doctor. "You've got tinselitis." I did try that one on Danny, and she didn't laugh either. I should have listened. I should have listened to my wife on that one. Is there any joy in the room this morning? Because that's the idea of Advent. It's to get us excited. There's a sense in which there's an anticipation about Christmas. An anticipation, but it goes beyond Christmas. Advent reminds us that there's something about Jesus and about God that's eternal in nature. He didn't just come then. He's still coming. We are to look forward in excitement towards the day when Jesus comes to restore everything to its divine state. We're excited about that. And through Advent, we're doing some traditional readings. That is readings associated with Advent. Now, if you went to the C of E, you'd probably know these off by heart because they go through Advent like a liturgical sense every year. We don't tend to do that. And so for this, many of you, this may be new. I have to say it's actually quite new to me as well because I don't often preach from the book of Zephaniah, people. Yes, Zephaniah, get excited. Zephaniah is coming out today. Now, if I preach in Zephaniah, you know, somebody said earlier on, you know, I don't preach much from the Old Testament, but we're going to do it today. Are you ready for Zephaniah? Yeah. Okay, and this is a really exciting passage. I'm going to read it through first time, and you're going to think, what? But then I'm going to read it to you a couple of times. I'm going to show you something about Hebrew literature that is either going to blow your mind, or you're going to think, Mike, you're too nerdy. All right, one of those two is really going to be the answer. Okay, let's look at it. So, Zephaniah, and put it up on the screen for me there, Kit, and we're going to hopefully read this passage together. Here we go. "Sing, daughter Zion, shout aloud, Israel." Okay, when it uses those terms, it's really talking about the people of God, the people of faith, people that trust in God. Those are Israel and Zion. "Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm. On that day, they will say to Jerusalem, 'Do not fear, Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing.'" What a fantastic passage. When was the last time you really rejoiced? I want to ask you that moment. When was the last time you were so overcome with joy, you were laughing to tears? Clearly not with my list of jokes that I began with, but maybe there was a time when you can remember that moment. Maybe it wasn't long ago. Maybe for some of us it feels like the distant past, but there was a moment when we felt free of worry, free of fear, free of despair. Everything was just right with the world, and we laughed. Remember that moment? Maybe you just have to imagine that moment. That's okay. That's okay. That is what this passage is both is prophesying and commanding all at the same time. It's saying there's coming a moment when you will do that in such a way you will be so free. So free from everything that would rob you of joy. In that moment, you will laugh and sing and smile like there is nothing wrong in the world. That moment is coming to you. Get excited. God is restoring that joy to the world. That moment's coming. But it's also saying, start doing it now. Get ready. Sing and rejoice now. Even if you've got sickness in your body. In anticipation of the moment, put a smile. It's coming to me. Even if everything in your life right now feels like it is going down the chute, laugh. Because Jesus is coming. And he's bigger than that chute. And your life is more than that problem. And your life is more than that issue. You have hope. A hope that goes beyond all those things. And this passage is saying, it's coming, but start now. See this? Sing. Shout. Be glad. Rejoice. You know, joy is both passive and active. Joy is this thing where it's passive. It means this. You don't have to do anything. You can just receive from God joy. When it's in short supply in life, you can just receive the joy you're missing. When it's in short supply, you can just say, Jesus. And the joy of the Lord will be your strength. But joy is also active. And the active, or the verb for joy, is rejoice. Rejoice. That's when you choose joy over the other options available to you that given day. You have lots of options today as to what you'll choose. You can choose to focus on the negative. You can choose to live in despair. You can choose worry, or you can choose to rejoice. God is my Savior. God is for me. God is with me. And this passage is talking about both kinds of joy. Isn't that cool? This passage is going to get better, I promise you. If you're struggling with this so far, I promise you it's going to get better. This is an awesome passage of Scripture. Now, you have to understand how to read this passage to really get it. Like, it's already good, isn't it? In Hebrew, and I've said this to you before on other passages of the Bible, so forgive me if I'm going over old ground, but some of you this will be new, some of you this will be old hat. But in Hebrew, they write differently to us Brits. So when we write a text, usually we write in a linear form with the climax, the main point, the emphasis being the conclusion, which comes at the end of our text. That's what we do in most of the Western world, I would argue. But in Hebrew, they often wrote differently to that. They were poets. They were a bit clever. They still are a bit clever, okay? And they write with something called parallelism. And quite often, and this text is an example, and we're going to show you this now, the climax is in the middle. And the bits leading up to it and the bits going away from it, if you imagine like a triangle, I'm going to show you a picture of this in a minute, but imagine a triangle. Everything that comes before is building up to the middle. And then everything that comes after is kind of concluding what happened in the middle, okay? So I want you to see that in this passage. So I've tried to color the passage to help you see this. If you look at the top, sing, shout, be glad, and rejoice. Parallels, he will rejoice over you with singing. So in the top, we're singing. Down here, God is singing. These two points are both true at each end of the spectrum. He's singing because we're singing, and we're singing because he's singing. And you've got this wonderful parallel going on in this wonderful passage of scripture. There's singing happening either way you look at it, from either angle, whether you're here looking ahead or whether you're God looking back. Singing is the same thing. You with me? Let's look at the green. The Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. And that parallels with this. It's the mighty warrior who saves. What from? Punishment. He will take great delight in you, and in his love he will no longer rebuke or punish you. So this sense in which what God has done, he's done for us. He has taken away our punishment. He has saved us. He is no longer rebuking us. He's dealt with the issue that would keep us from singing. He's dealt with two issues that would keep us from singing. The two issues are fear and our enemy. I want to just pick up on that for just a quick moment before I move on. There are two fears here. The fear of punishment and the fear of enemies who seek to harm us. Punishment is like a fear, a deep, disconcerting consciousness that I am at some level punishable. I am a failure. I am not all I should be. Okay? And every human being, probably at some level, whether conscious or unconscious, kind of knows I'm not all I should be. I'm not right all of the time. And there's this deep, we might suppress it, but there's this deep fear of what if I get found out? What if I get exposed? What if they see? What if God sees? There's a fear going on of punishment. And at some level, it's the fear of punishment that keeps us from really being able to rejoice, to sing, to laugh like nothing is wrong. Because that's stolen from us by fear. Does that make sense? The other one is this, the enemy. Fear of enemy. Now, we don't have enemies chasing us to try and kill us, perhaps, like they did in the Old Testament days, but they're enemies of the soul. Discouragement. Despair. Worry. There are all sorts of enemies that are lining up just to try and take your joy from you. And we're often afraid of the unknown. We're afraid of what the enemy might have around the corner in store for us. And that fear keeps us from really being able to laugh and really enjoy the moment because of what might come. So we sometimes refrain from really enjoying the moment because we go, oh yeah, but someone's going to trip me up in a minute. Don't we? Especially if you're English in the room. English are brilliant at that. We are experts at expecting the worst. We just are negative, okay? But that's what we do. So these two fears, at some level, these two fears, the fear of punishment, the fear of an enemy, keep us from the singing that happens there. But this passage is telling us God takes great delight in us, and in his love he will no longer rebuke us. He has taken away the need to fear punishment. Because hear this, God knows exactly what we've done, and yet he has chosen in his love to no longer rebuke us. There is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Oh, the freedom of that fear. That means I can sing. That means I can laugh again. He has turned back our enemy. That doesn't mean that stuff in life isn't difficult for Christians. It means that the enemy has no ultimate teeth with which to harm you. All right, your suffering is not punishment, and it's not the end of us. There's no teeth to it. It hasn't got the victory over us. It might have a hold on our ankle, but it doesn't have to have a hold on our heart, because God has saved us. And God is able to turn our pain into good. Right, let's go back to the verse. Then we have these two black lines. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you, parallels with the Lord your God is with you. All right, they wanted to say that twice just so we could get it. The Hebrew writer wants us to see emphasize this. And then we get to our climax, the main important part of this passage that the writer wants us to know. Never again will you fear any harm. On that day they will say to Jerusalem, do not fear, Zion, do not let your hands hang limp. So the writer is actually writing about fear. And he's saying, look, there's this big issue, and the issue is fear. And that's at the big of this. But listen, God has come near to us. He is with us. And because of what he has accomplished by saving us, he has delivered us from the fear of punishment and the fear of the enemy and what's around the corner. Therefore, you can do what it says at the beginning and the end, which is sing, rejoice. You can know joy. You see what the writer's trying to do? Okay, let's look at it with the triangle. Just hit the next slide for me. There it is. Okay, I've just done it slightly differently there. Here's sing, here's singing. Here's the Lord has taken away your punishment. The mighty warrior who saves, take delight in you. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. The Lord is with you. Never again will you fear any harm. On that day they will say, do not fear. Do not let your hands hang limp. This is all about joy. And specifically the fact that God has dealt with the biggest thing that will steal joy from your life, which is fear. I told you, it's a great passage, isn't it? It's really good. Really interesting. I love the Bible. It's pretty good. It's pretty clever. I want you to see in this that God is with you. It's the one fact that changes everything. If you get that God is not against you, but with you, on your side, and your best friend in life, there really is nothing to be truly afraid of. And if there's nothing to be truly afraid of, you can be truly, oh gosh, truly joyful. That is going to sound great on the podcast, isn't it? You can be truly joyful. That moment that I mentioned at the beginning is possible. Just breathe that in for a moment, will you? Because I know what life is like. I know it gets on top of us. I know our perspective gets skewed by all manner of temptations, sufferings, and challenges. But the joy comes in the truth that God is with you. And he's taken the teeth out of the lion's mouth. And all he can do is go, that's all he can do to you. Honestly, that's all he can do to you. David understood this when he wrote Psalm 139. He said this, I can never get away from your presence. He understood God is near. And not near occasionally in life, but he's always there, right there. If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. Okay, well, that takes away the fear of the grave. Because even at the grave, who's there? He's waiting for us. When they open that coffin, Jesus is already in there, waiting for your body to join him. You don't need to fear the grave. And this is a wonderful truth. I keep spoiling my book. Because I keep feeling like I need to preach it. All right? But even in the darkest moment, even in the grave, he promises to so fill that place with himself, you won't even know it's that dark. You won't even know. You won't. When he said to Martha, you will never die, it's like he's prepared for the moment you close your eyes to immediately catch you. He's not going to let you experience death. Truly. It's like sleep. He's just going to catch you. You don't need to fear at that moment in the slightest. There's going to be joy there. And God does it to rub it in the devil's face. It's that moment you thought you were going to get the victory. I'm going to show you even there is singing and there is joy even in that moment. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even in darkness I cannot hide from you. To you the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. What a revelation. Not even dark. The blackest of black dark, where you cannot see a thing, even there God can see everything. And he just gets this revelation that if God is with me, if God's presence is near to me, whatever I go through, I can be free. It does not need to define me. I got joy, and I can receive it, and I can choose it, because I do not need to fear punishment or what the enemy's got around the corner, because God's going to, whatever the enemy's got around the corner, God's going to turn it back for good. Has anybody got any faith in place this morning? For this is a message of hope, and I wanted to bring a message of hope to you this morning and joy. Can you tell me what the time is? It's 5:30. Okay, because Kit's under instructions to shoot me if I get to 22. Okay. I'm going to finish now. I'm just going to wrap up. God lights up everywhere he is. Fear reigns in the dark. Fear reigns in the unknown. But if you understand you have God with you, then you have light. And you realize nothing's unknown to him. You know, there's a key word in that passage that we read at the beginning, the Zephaniah passage. Can you just flip back to it if that's possible? You see, this is speaking both to that day, but it's also speaking to the future. It's speaking about Jesus, really. The reason we know it's speaking about Jesus is this. It says, never again. You see, if it was only speaking to that present moment, it would say, I'm taking away your fear in this particular moment. But to say never fear again, well, that's an eternal statement. Yeah? That's a statement about something that is now a position we live in forever, not just a momentary relief of a particular trouble. So this is prophesying a day when it would be solved forever. And that day came. It's also prophesying that the Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. What's that sound like? It sounds like Isaiah's prophecy, doesn't it? Isaiah's prophecy that says, if you can flick to the screen for me, Kit, before I try and do it off by heart and get it wrong. Ah, that's not the one. Isaiah, have we got Isaiah? Okay, I'm going to do it off by heart and get it wrong. Isaiah says, No, we haven't got it. Prophet Isaiah prophesied Jesus coming and said, and you will name him Emmanuel, which means God with us. All of these prophecies are speaking about, look, this all hinges on Jesus. Your joy, your hope, your future, the never again fear, all of that hinges on God being with us, and not just in an abstract sense, but he actually came to be with us. Emmanuel, God with us. He was the mighty Savior that would save us from punishment and the enemy. He is the one that makes it all possible. Isn't that wonderful? I've actually got it in my notes. All right then. The Lord himself will give you the sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Today, Jesus invites us to draw near to him. It says in James, the last slide, come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, sinners, purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. What it means is this. James is saying, make it your single-hearted decision, your one decision. Don't be divided. Don't try and find it in other things. Find it in Jesus. Draw close to him. He will draw near to you, and joy will be yours. Let's pray. Thank you, Annabelle. Holy Spirit, you're the giver of joy. Today, I pray that people across this room would just receive the joy of the Lord. And that that joy would be their strength. If you've gotten to the end of your joy, you feel like you have run out. You feel like life has finally beaten the last little bit of joy you had. It's good news, because joy comes from heaven, not earth. Joy comes from heaven, not earth. Bits of happiness come from earth. Joy comes from heaven. Just take a moment to receive joy. As God speaks over you, light, life, freedom. No need to fear the unknown, and no need to fear punishment, because God in his love no longer rebukes you. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And behold, he will turn all things for our good. And even the darkest place your imagination can imagine up, he is there, waiting for you, with his arms open wide. And he is going to use your trials to rub it in the enemy's face and show him who's boss. Will you laugh a little this Christmas, even if you don't feel like it? Rejoice. Rejoice.